K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Hey, once again, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes or through this radio broadcast and your automobiles and just share with y'all, you know, the greatest story that's ever been told, you know. And that story is the love of God. Boy, that's the greatest story that has ever been told, you know. And there's something that I'm fully persuaded of because of the experiences that I have in the love of God, that there's nothing, I mean nothing, 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 nothing that can ever separate us from that love. For he loved us so much, forever, far beyond what we can even grasp or fathom. Those songs say, who can fathom the depths of his love? Who can grasp his infinite wisdom? He's beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp his infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of his love? No, he's beautiful beyond description. Majesty and thrones above. Boy, all I can do when I think of his love for us is, boy, I just stand in awe of him. Hallelujah. And I just say thank you, Jesus, for what you did in order to bring us and to reconnect us back to the love of the Father. Boy, that's a great story. Every time I come on this radio broadcast, you know, that's my assignment. You know, and I'm not opposed to other assignments, and I don't ever want to come on here like, you know, say this is the only message, nothing like that. Thank God for all the messages that he has raised up men and women to proclaim, boy, in the earth today concerning his word. Hallelujah. But my assignment, man, is to preach, boy, the gospel of the kingdom. And in this gospel of the kingdom, there's a law. It's called a royal law of the kingdom. And that's the law of love. And let me tell you something. That law right there supersedes every law. Every law. Hey, there's some laws in the kingdom, man, you know, that God gave Adam and Eve, you know, in the garden in Genesis 1 and 2. You know, that supersedes all the other laws. All the other laws that we have that you know of through Moses and the Levitical laws, those laws are the results of man's fall from the original law. That's in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. I always want to remind you of something, that there's two perfect chapters in your Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And those two chapters right there shows the will of God. It shows in those two chapters, man, you know, what God is doing. That's it, you know. And in those two chapters say, and God. And God. Then say, and God saved. And what he said was, boy, his will. Was his spoken ideas, his spoken thoughts. And when he said that, you know, whatever he said, let me tell you something, boy, that's a done deal. That's it. He can't alter the word that had gone forth out of his mouth in those two chapters. He changes his plans in time, you know, down through time and down through dispensation and down through periods in history, you know, which mankind has found himself living in. You know, his plans change from dispensation to dispensation, but his purpose and his word, it ain't never going to change. No, Lord. And boy, let me tell you something, boy, there's an enemy called the devil, the enemy of your enemies that hate you, that hate God. And boy, you know, I have but one motive operandi, and that's to keep you from coming to the knowledge of the love of God. I ain't talking about the religious love that we know. I'm talking about the real love of God, the agape love of God. Like I say, we, as far as we know concerning it and about it, you know, all their finite mind can't even grasp his infinite wisdom of his love. Boy, but as you come to the knowledge of it, you keep growing in and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. Tell old boy, listen, you better love, man, your neighbor. You'll love the Lord your God with all our hearts and all our minds and all our souls, and then we'll love one another. Even in the commandment that he gave Moses, it was the greatest ones of all. But love the Lord your God with all your heart and love one another. All right, because, boy, that's the royal law of the kingdom. And like I said, boy, every time that I come up on here, man, you know, it's for that purpose, boy, and that's to share with you the love of God. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So it don't no longer be me. You know, Jesus said it this way. You know, he never attributed none of the things that he did to himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to proclaim, boy, the love of God. Him. So every time I come out here, you know, I count it an honor, like I said, in the privilege, man, to, that God would use me. Lord have mercy. That God would use me to share with all of those under the sound of my voice, boy, the love of God. For this purpose, you know, say that he might draw all men unto him. The Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. Hallelujah. And, boy, when you grasp that love, and listen, I'm talking about that love is being shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. How you doing it, boy? You're just using the word of God. And listen, boy, when God gives him a word, then the Holy Spirit takes the word of God, and he produces it. What are you saying, Arthur? When I say the Spirit of the Lord upon me, boy, it's for to produce something on the inside of you. It ain't no longer me, boy. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. To do what? Produce the word of God in your life. And everything that concerns your life, your family, your neighbor, your neighborhood, your community, your city, your state, your country, the world. That's the impact that it can have. It ain't no limitation to it. This gospel of the love of God, the kingdom of God, shall be preached in all the world as a testimony, the Bible say, in Matthew chapter 24. And then the end gonna come. When, boy, when the whole world get a chance to, boy, to hear, boy, of the love of God. That's what the kingdom of God is, you know, in the kingdom of heaven. You hear me use those two terminologies, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, but they have different meanings. You know, the kingdom of God is what God is doing and his ways of doing what he's doing. The kingdom of heaven is a country and all the attributes of that country and everything that country consists of. It's an unseen country, it's an unseen realm, that's the kingdom of heaven. It's the street paved with gold. Ain't no sickness there. Ain't no dying there. Ain't no crime there. Ain't no racism there. The wealth is common there, man. You know, hey, listen. All love. The kingdom of heaven. And so they use synonymous in scripture, but they mean different things. You know, the kingdom of God is what God is doing. And he revealing what he's doing through his word. And he's revealing his way of doing what he's doing. That's important, that we must not know what he's doing, but we know his ways of doing what we're doing so that we can appropriate it in our lives. And then not just be, But and when we, as we come to the knowledge of what he's doing and appropriate it in our lives, then we can begin to experience the kingdom of him in our lives here on earth. Not all at one time, you know. I'm talking about line upon line, precept upon precept. Little by little by little. Growing in the love of God. As far as the fulfillment of the Mosaic laws and the Levitical laws, Jesus said this here, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. I don't know if you're trying to keep my commandments so that you can try to get something from me and appease the deity. Yes, that's all a part of it, but that's not what it's all about. I just want you to love, keep my commandment because you love me. And the only way you can keep my commandment and love me that way, I got to first love you. And I'll show you my love for you, that even while you're yet in your sins, man, I'm going to blot out all transgression and writings against you. I'm going to put all your sins in the sea of forgiveness. Your sins will I remember no more. Hallelujah. Who redeemed our life from destruction. And watch this here. Not only redeemed our life from destruction, thank God he died for our sin, but it's more than that. And crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercy. Crowned us, man. Put the crown back on our head. Not only a priestly garment and going through our rituals and rites and ceremonies and practices and everything else, but boy, put up on our head, boy, a crown. What that is, a crown represent, boy, kingship, rule. So not only are we men, priests, and all the tithe that we fall under the priestly garment, but we kings and queens too. Hallelujah. That's the love of God. That's how much God loved us. That's what he created in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Men and women who were, not just mere men and mere women, but mere sons and daughters of the Most High God. Kings and queens. Rulers. Right. Over our domain. What's our domain? Our life. Hallelujah. With the authority to govern our lives. In the beauty of holiness. Govern our lives, man, according to the way we were created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. Governing our own lives. Ruling and reigning over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronts our lives. And ruling and reigning over it in righteousness. And the fruits of righteousness is holiness. And holiness is being like God. And the Bible says, don't try to live right there that you can become holy. It says, be holy. Why? Because the Lord your God is holy. And if the Lord your God is holy, and he tell you to be like him, that's what he's saying. That's what he said in the beginning. Let's make man in our image, in our likeness. Who said that? Well, that's what the Most High God said. That's what the King said. Well, you hear me say on this radio broadcast all the time, man, thank God for what the preacher say and what a man say and what I say and what all people who say and represent God and wherever, boy, I'm talking about a more sure word. Talking about what the King said himself. And the King said this, let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have kingship. That's what dominion means. Let them have kingdom over the earth. Let them, man, impact and influence and cultivate this earth and set up the culture and nature upon this earth. Let them have authority and power and control and the ability, boy, to govern this earth, boy, just like heaven is governed. Then the Bible says, and God blessed them. That means he empowered them, boy, to succeed at them. That's what he said. And the word that had gone forth out of his mouth, boy, he can't alter that. The devil, like I told you, he don't want you to find out. He don't mind you find out what he said in the beginning. He don't want you to find out what he said, man, from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and all the way through chapter 2, man, is what God said in the beginning. But if you go over into 1 John over there, you know, in the first verse, it say, that this is, this is. In Genesis chapter 1, it say, that which was in the beginning. In 1 John, not St. John, 1 John chapter 1, it say, that which was from the beginning, that which we have seen, that which we have handled of the word of life, that we have touched. This is personal now. I'm not on that which was from the beginning. I'm talking about, boy, in the love of God, you come into a relationship, boy, where you know him. I ain't talking about know of him and know about him. I'm talking about you know him. Just like you know your brother, just like you know your sister, just like you know your closest friend, your closest family member, just like you know your spouse, just like you know him. You know him. Hallelujah. And boy, that's life eternal, that we might know him, the only true and wise God, that we might know Jesus Christ, who he sent, and that we might know the power that's in his resurrection. Hallelujah. I ain't say no of him. See, that's what most of men are, what religion men produce in our life. We just know of him, and we know about him. And we say, you know, we know him, and you do, you know, but that's at the first level of degree. Well, you got to grow up in that knowledge and that of him, because if you grow up, if you know him, because you will know the love of God. And boy, let me tell you something, the love of God, that'll transform our lives. Everything that God is doing, boy, he's doing with his word. But boy, all the things that he's doing with his word, boy, is good. The Bible says on the first day, God, after he did that, he said, and it was good. On the second day, after he got to saying, let that be and let that be, it was good. The third, the fourth, the fifth day, he said they were good. And on the sixth day, when he made you and I and blessed us and empowered us to fulfill our purpose upon the earth, hallelujah. Boy, he said that was very good. And boy, the evening and the morning was the sixth day, and God is finished from all his works. In other words, boy, it's a done deal. What the king said, boy, that's what it's going to be. And then God started backing up and started working it out. Hallelujah. Start working it out. Say it again. He started working it out. He finished first, and then he backed all the way up, back up, and then he started. In Genesis chapter 2, then it goes into a little detail. Genesis chapter 1, that's the finished work. That's the end revealed to us in the beginning. Chapter 2 goes into a little bit of detail. And the man that God created in his image, he came down to the earth. And boy, he made a earth suit for him to live in so that he could dominate this earth, this scenery. Then he released a man on the inside of him and told him, man, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, you know. Hey, that's in another teaching to teach you, man, what all that really, really means. But in other words, to make a long story short, he gave us dominion, that kingdom over all the earth. With this mandate, make it on earth just like it is in heaven. And I give you everything that you have need of to fulfill that. Everything. That's why he blessed it. So listen, what God been blessed from the beginning can't be cursed. I'm going to say that again. What God has blessed can't be cursed. What's blessed? He's blessed his word, and he blessed what he said about you and I. And what he said about you and I ain't nothing, man, that no devil can do. Ain't nothing that you and I can do. I told you, nothing that can separate us from that love. Well, who he is blessed with that love can't be cursed. Boy, you come into the knowledge of that love, boy, you know. That's what Jesus Christ come preaching. Listen, you know, thank God for what he done. And that's what most of us, you know, I would say we know of him because we know a whole lot about what he done. but we don't. The church don't know about what he was saying while he was doing what he was doing. We know what he was doing: opening blind eyes, unstopping deaf ears, man, casting out devils, ruling and reigning over circumstance, situation, and symptom. Winds and waves obeyed him. Demon trembled, man, even at the sound of his voice, man. What was he doing? He was ruling and reigning in the earth. Over what? Over every circumstance, every situation, and every symptom that confronted his life. Self-government. Government by the word of God. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, boy, to manifest it in the earth. Well, not only to make it known in knowledge, but to bring it into reality in the earth. How you going to get that done, man? Through his son. Let me throw this nugget out there. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead of many sons. How you going to get that done? Through his son. And his son, boy, is the firstborn among many sons. That through his death and burial and with all our sins forgiven, for what purpose? So that as God raised him from the dead, so has he raised us up from the dead and made us to sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Listen at this. Far above all principalities, powers, dominions, and might, and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in high places. Far above all our enemies. What? Restore back up to us, boy, the dominion, boy, that we lost in Adam, the kingship, the rulership. That's why I say, boy, he's crowned us with loving kindness. With what? With loving kindness and tender mercy. What he's crowned us with? The glory of God. What have we been crowned with, Arthur? The glory of God. The nature of God. The character of God. The attributes of God. The same ingredient that's on the inside of God, on the inside of us. Character and nature. The same function and ability that's on the inside of God that we have on the inside of us. He made us in his image and his likeness. We lost that in Adam. Lost the knowledge of that. Lost the life of that. Lost the reality of that. Lost all of that, man. And man began to live like mere men and mere women. And dying like mere men and mere women. And all the time, boy, we were created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. In Genesis chapter 3, man, you know, Adam and them men disobeyed God, like I've told you many times right here. And boy, they, as a result of that, they lost some things. They lost their dominion. They gave that to the devil. They lost, man, the Garden of Eden, that atmosphere and that environment that they was living in. They lost that. Because, boy, the presence of the Lord was in them was no longer there. They lost their sovereignty. They lost their dominion. They lost their raw power. They lost their righteousness. They lost the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that was living on the inside of them, that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the Holy Spirit along with that, they lost all of that. They lost the presence of the Lord in them. Not just among them, in them, on the inside of them. They lost all of that. Why are you telling them that there's all? So, boy, you can begin to understand the love of God. And when they lost all of that, there was no way for them to get that back. But God and his love for us, the royal law, in the kingdom. I tell you, can't nothing separate us from the love of God. No, not nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I say it again. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Even in Adam, them disobedience and rebellion and transgression of God's word that got them separated from God, spiritual death that caused all of us, all mankind, day after to be born in sin and Satan in iniquity without hope. With no way of ever being able to redeem ourselves from that destruction. But the love of God. In the fullness of time, boy, God fulfilled another law in the kingdom, a law of promise. He promised something, boy. He promised that devil, man, who had stole Adam's identity and authority and everything else and made him a slavery unto him. He promised him something. He said, that same woman that you deceived, she going to come forth, boy, a seed going to come forth from her, and, baby, he going to tear your head off your shoulder. I mean, he going to take back all your authority, man, that you stole from them, and he going to give it back to them. Boy, that's a promise from God. That's a law. That's a law in Genesis chapter 3 that God made melt at the devil. I promise you, baby, you just stole it, and you got the earth, man, instead of being on earth like it is in heaven, you got it on earth like it is here now, but I promise you something. That's a law. I'm coming myself in the person of the seed of that woman. And I'm going to redeem my children's life from this destruction. Why? Because I ain't going to let nothing separate me and them from my love. Hallelujah. And boy, the Bible says in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, the fulfillment of that promise. Made in the likeness of sinful man, yet without sin. And redeemed our lives from that destruction. You know the story of it and about it and all he did, but you don't know why he did it and the reason for the why. The reason for why he did it is to redeem our life from destruction. The purpose for why he did it, man, is so that you and I can come back into the love of God, so that we can once again begin to experience and live in the love of God, not in religion. Not in Christianity alone, but no, coming to the fullness of what Christianity really is. Christ-like. Mashiach, that means reigning king. The word Christ means a ruling king, a reigning king. That we might be Christ-like, what? Reigning kings and rulers too. Reigning in the love of God. You know how kings reign? They reign with their word. That's how you rule, with your word. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And boy, if you can begin to reign in love and speak in love, good God Almighty, there won't be no limits to, boy, the thing that we can accomplish in this earth. That God is looking to and for the earth, looking for men and women who he can show himself strong on their behalf. And the Bible says, they that know their God, that know him, they shall do exploits. What you mean? They shall do great and mighty things. What you mean? I ain't talking about miracles and all that. I'm talking about more destroying the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil, man? Keeping you from the knowledge of who you really are and what God is really doing and what God has done and what God is continuously doing to fulfill, boy, what he spoke in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 concerning you and I. What he spoke concerning you and I in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 again, Arthur, this is what he spoke. He said, let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, over all the earth. The Bible saying God blessed them, then told them to be fruitful. In other words, boy, he produced it. Produced the fruit of it. Produce the fruit of that word. I give you the seed of it. You know, let's make man in our image. Now take that seed, that incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of God's word. Whose word? God's word, the King word. Take that seed and plant it into your home. Well, that's another law in the kingdom right there. We ain't got to that one yet. That's later on. It's called a law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that's what he going to reap. That's why I say we got to learn how to, as we grow into the love of God, boy, then we got to learn how to speak and how to talk. They marveled about the Bible said the gracious word that proceeded out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, even when he was reproving and rebuking and chastising, boy, it was all in words and of love. It was all done in the spirit of love. Hallelujah. And he marveled at the gracious word that proceeded out of his mouth, especially when he encountered sinners. The church encountered sinners and they condemned them. Jesus Christ encountered sinners, boy, and he loved them. Hallelujah. 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 He loved them with the agape love of God, an unconditional love of God. And in other words, he looked past their faults and mistakes and saw their need. And that need was met with every man and every woman and every boy and every girl. Won't, because it's embedded in them. It's built on the inside of them. It's got that character and nature, because that's how God is. Every man and every woman and every boy and every girl, they want to be accepted. They want to be loved. They want to be appreciated. And they want to be well thought of. I don't care who you are, man. Everybody, that's your heart's desire. I don't care what you think. Or nothing like that. It might be lost in there, but that's every man, mankind. Hard desire. They just want to be loved. They want to be accepted. They want to be loved. They want to be appreciated. And they want to be well thought of. Can you imagine if that was what was going on in the earth today? There'd be an oasis of love. And it can be an oasis of love, even in this troubled world, as it begins on the inside of us. And listen, it first begins on the inside of us, in our heart. In most places you see in the Bible where it say heart, it ain't talking about you. It's talking about your mind. It's talking about your way of thinking, your precepts, your idea, your original idea. And when you get the Bible, David said in Psalms 111, man, I think it's 110 verse 11 or vice versa. He said this. He said, "Lord, teach me your precepts, so that I might have, man, right understanding." Teach me. He said this. He said, "I want to know." Most people want to see your hand. They want to see your handiwork. They want to see miracles. They want to see this and that. They want to see you moving. That's a good thing. He said, "But Lord, teach me, man, what's in your heart and what's in your mind." Your original idea. What you were thinking before you spoke. What made you speak what you spoke? What was in your heart? What was in your mind that made you know? I'm talking about articulated. Your original precept. Your idea. Your original idea. Even before you spoke. What was it that you was designed? You know, the Bible say, boy, I think it's in... We're talking about wisdom. I think it's in Proverbs chapter 8. It says, "Our wisdom was with you even before the foundation of the world." We're talking about Jesus there. And if you want to read it in Proverbs chapter 8, he said, I was ever your delight. I was with you even before the foundation of the world. When everything was came into existence, I was there. And he said, boy, you were delighted in me. Never ever saying that, man. And God was, he was God and his son. Wisdom. Hallelujah. That was before he took upon himself a body and became Jesus as we know him. And boy, and the Bible says, boy, and he loved his sons, that wisdom so much. That was his son. He loved them so much. I mean, he was ever his delight. Forever his delight. Everything he did. That his son did was so pleasing to him, where he loved him so much, till he, man, decided, bro, before the foundation of the world, that he wanted a whole family of sons, just like him. Just like that original son. That's what inspired him to create you. But the love of God that he had for his son, that he wanted, boy, a whole bunch of them just like him. So he created you. Oh, that's the love of God. And he created you just like his son. I told you again, you lost that in Adam. But you know what the Bible says in the book of Colossians? Let me just read something to you in the book of Colossians. In fact, I think I might read it. Lord, say so the whole chapter. Let me just read it to you. And just, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will open the eyes of your understanding and your hearing so that you can hear what God is saying through this chapter of scripture right here. Listen to what it says. It says, Colossians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. And listen, who is writing to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus. That's you. You're a saint, and you're a believer in Christ Jesus. You're a brother, and you're in the faith. Who are under the sound of my voice? The Bible says, "Which are at Colossae." In other words, telling who this Bible is written to. Sometimes you got to understand something. Not sometimes. All the time you got to understand something. But what the Word of God is, and you got to get it out of the chapter and verse and get it on the inside of you. And the only way you can do that, you got to come to the realization and understanding your attitude toward the Word of God, that's God speaking to you. This is your attitude toward the Word of God. Every time you hear the Word of God, boy, this is your attitude that you have. That's God speaking to you. As though he was speaking to you himself, as though you were the only person. Because that's what it is. It is. It's more than just a written word, man. There's life in this word. And boy, when you read it, you got to read it as God speaking to you. Not just Bible literature and Bible sermons and everything else, and more than that, but it's God speaking to you. It says, "This grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Even Paul writing to all of us. He said, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the words of the truth of the gospel." That's the problem about the love of God and the kingdom of God, "which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and that it might bring forth fruit as it do also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." That's the minister who God sent to bring the word of God to them, to enlighten the eyes of their understanding, to bring to them the truth of the grace of God and the gospel of the kingdom. He says, "Who has also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be," watch what the prayer is, "filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord." How are you going to walk worthy of the Lord? You got to be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and understanding. You got to be getting knowledge. You got to grow in knowledge. You got to grow in the love of God. You got to continue, man, and not only receive the love, but boy, I'm talking about let it be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You're steady growing. And the more you grow in it, boy, the more magnificent and powerful and mighty men and women that we become. "For this cause, also since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And by being increasing in the knowledge of God, verse 11 says, be strengthened with all might. That's why I say you mighty men and mighty women of God. As man, we come to the knowledge of the love of God and the gospel of the kingdom and begin to grow in it and walk in it. It says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able, watch this, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Let me hear say, boy, that God has made us able to be partakers, not just to know of it, be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. What's the inheritance of the saints? "Come, you who are blessed of your Father," Matthew's. Chapter 25. "And get your inheritance, Lord, all of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world." What's your inheritance? The kingdom of heaven. That's your inheritance. It ain't something you're trying to get that belongs to you. That's your inheritance. Hallelujah. The testator has died. The will is in full effect now. In the Old Testament, the will wasn't in full effect. So God was taking them through. I told you, deal with people in different ways. His plans change, but his purpose don't never change. But boy, when the Messiah came, and boy, I'm talking about, and paid the penalty for everything and cleansed us up from all unrighteousness so that you and I can, man, once again be reconnected to the love of God. Lord, the testator came and died. Therefore, the will is in full effect for all our inheritance. Now we are now heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, an inheritance. But if you don't know about your inheritance, man, that's why I say, boy, the devil don't want you to know about those things like that. Your inheritance. What's your inheritance? The kingdom of heaven. How you get your inheritance? It's in light. What's light? It's in knowledge. If somebody left you $1 million and you never knew nothing about it, man, you could die poor, broken, hungry. But boy, if you found out about it, ain't a devil in hell can stop you, man, from pursuing your inheritance. Especially when you know it's legit and it's real. How do you know it's legit and it's real, boy? That's the will of the king. That's the will of God. Hallelujah. You mean I know it? That's the will of God. Let every man and let every woman be alive, but let God be true. This is where it's going to stand. What I'm talking about, boy, my faith is in, man, not in circumstance, situation, sin, not even in feelings and everything else, boy. What I'm talking about, boy, is another law in the kingdom called the law of faith. How you live in the kingdom, what? Faith in what? Faith in God's word. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, even though, man, my body is afflicted, man, with what they call it, cervical stenosis, lumbar stenosis, man, and I can't hardly walk, man. I don't walk by sight. I'm in the kingdom, baby, in the love of God, boy. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. How come, Arthur, man, you don't feel that way? You don't act that way? Yeah, it ain't based upon, man, my feelings. It's based upon, man, my faith in the word of God. I'm healed because that's what God said. And, baby, I'm going to, man, I'm sure to believe that report. Yes, the struggle is real, and yes, the circumstance, situation, and symptom is real, but boy, that's something way more real than that. The circumstance, situation, and symptom are facts. Facts can be temporal, and facts are subject to change, but the word of the Lord, that's eternal, baby. That can't change. So, man, instead of man confessing man's facts, I'm going to confess, boy, that which is eternal, man. Well, by his stripes, I'm healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's the word of the king. And, boy, when I tell you, boy, when you learn how to talk in the kingdom of God. Just like that, we got to learn. And in order to relearn some things, boy, we got to unlearn some things that we've been taught. That's why Jesus, man, first, when his first public message, man, when he began his public ministry of sharing the love of God, the first word that came out of his mouth was to repent. And he said, for the kingdom of him is near. Is among you right now. And, boy, when I finish doing what I'm doing, it's not only going to be among you, boy, but it's going to get back on the inside of you. And you can begin to live your life, man, from there. Let me finish reading. You say, increasing in the knowledge of God, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to the glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. Man, that's growing. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in knowledge. Watch this. Who has, verse 13, who has delivered us from the powers of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, that's forgiveness, man, through the blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed, purchased back, man. Even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, talking about Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether that be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Well, I told you, boy, he was his father's delight. His father was so pleased with him that he wanted a whole bunch of sons just like him that had created power just like him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Talking about wisdom, talking about Jesus. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. That means he might be first place in all things. For it pleased the Father that in him, watch this, should all the fullness dwell. What was he full of? Grace and truth. And the Bible saying of his fullness, in St. John chapter 1, boy, of his fullness have we all received. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to, watch this, reconcile all things unto himself by him. What he did, boy, that it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Having made peace with us in the Father, how? Through the blood of this cross. That made us, boy, be able to be reconciled all things unto himself. Well, what purpose? So that God, so that we could be reconciled back to God. So that we become one with God. And you, who are sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now has he reconciled to, I told you, boy, he who knew no sin, 1 Corinthians. God made him to be seen. What praise God, so that you and I might be made the righteousness of God, who has reconciled us unto himself, watch this, not imputing our trespasses against us, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What? For this purpose, to go into all the world like I'm doing right now, and let you know, boy, that God was in Christ Jesus, that promise that he made to that devil in Genesis chapter 3, to see that woman, that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back unto himself. What do you mean, Lord? Reconcile, that's a dramatical construct. It comes from two words, and it's to change the meaning of the word. Re is a prefix. Consile is the word. Consile is when we get our word consolidate. Consile means to make one. Reconcile means to make one again. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we was one with God. He was on the inside of us, and we was in him, and boy, we was all one. And boy, in the loss and separation and disobedience of Adam that plunged all of us into the slavery of sin, and we all got separated from him. Watch this. That's why I say, and you, who were sometimes alienated or separated from God, and enemies in your own mind by the wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through the death to present you, listen to this, this is what God is saying to you, to present you holy and without blame and unreprovable in his sight. Watch this. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of this gospel which you are hearing and which is being preached to every creature which is under the heaven, whereof I, Paul, have made a minister, who now rejoice even in my suffering for you, so that you might be filled up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. In other words, Paul said, well, no matter what I might go through, I just got one desire, boy, and boy, that's to share the love of God with you, in whom I rejoice in my suffering for you, and filled up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ. And you know, Paul suffered some things, boy. I'm talking about they tried to kill him when they were. But boy, he kept on, man, sharing the love of God, man, to mankind, boy. In the flesh, Christ in my flesh, in whom the body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God for you at this time, what he said. Even, watch this here, even the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but is now in your hearing, in your day, in your time, but is now being made known to who? To the children of God, to the saints, in whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the of this mystery among the Gentiles. Not all, I'm talking about amongst everybody, the Jews and the Gentiles, which is, this is the mystery, Christ in you the hope of glory. What it is, boy, the mystery is that, boy, he's no longer been among us and no longer been around us, but, boy, he once again on the inside of us. We reconcile back to God, one with God, him in us and we in him. What's the mystery? Christ in you, that anointed king in you. And watch this here. Not just Jesus Christ on the inside of you. That's the first and foremost, boy, in the word of God and the Holy Ghost, man, and the Father on the inside of you. But that king that you are, that Christ, that little Christ, just like you say, you know, you're a little G God, you're a little C Christ too. You're not D Christ, but boy, you're just like him. You're a little Christ, boy, that you, and what it is, he does not talk about the big Christ on the inside of you, but you might come to the knowledge of that little Christ that you are, that little ruler that you are, what you've been restored back to. What? All your, everything that you lost in Adam, been restored back to you. You've been reconciled back to all of your inheritance, all of the kingdom of heaven, been restored back to you. All of your sovereignty, all of your dominion, all your righteousness, all your power, all your blessings, all your peace, all your joy, yeah, all your attributes, all your potential, everything. Restored back to you. It's your inheritance. God chose that before the foundation of the world. That was his original precept. That was his original idea. The word world, the word in the Bible, you see the word world, the word of God is logos in the Greek. And logos is the expressed idea. An expressed idea. An idea that is expressed, that is articulated. It become a word, but before it became a word, it was an idea first. It was in the mind of God first. That's why I tell you, like I told you earlier, daily say, Lord, show me your precepts. Show me what's in your mind so that I can have correct understanding, so that I can know what this thing is really all about. What's it really all about again? Boy, I'm talking about the love of God for his sons. What sons? Mankind. Male and female sons. Mankind. Boys and girls. All his children. Mankind. Boy, every time I come on this radio broadcast, boy, I tell you, boy, that's the, I don't know if I'd be stretching if I say it's the highlight of my week. Come on here, boy, and just me and share with you the word of God. That's all I got. I don't have no sermons. Just kind of share with you, boy, the precepts of God, the word of God, what this Bible say. Because I come to realize something, you know, that most believers, most of you out there under the sound of my voice, you know, you might read your Bible occasionally. You might read it, you know, but you know, Paul said, I pray that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that you might know, boy, the exceeding greatness of the power that's available to us. So you might walk in the realities of what the word is saying. But if you don't know what the word is saying, if you don't have no understanding of the word, then maybe you won't be able to apply it. And if you don't apply it, then you won't reap no harvest. You can have a whole bunch of seeds, and you can have, man, you know, the land to do it in, all the equipment, man, to get the ground ready and everything else. Even have some people working for you. But if you don't never put the seed in the ground, you'll never get a harvest. And right now, God is giving us, man, the seeds. But there's going to come a time, boy, where we ought to start planting those seeds. Because there's another law in the kingdom, like I said earlier. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap. How you sow, boy? What you sowing? You sowing the seed of God's word. What you sowing it at? You're sowing it in your hearts, in your minds, in your life, in your will, in your emotions, in your spirit. And what you're doing, then, man, you learn how to believe it and speak it. What you're doing then, you're watering and cultivating it. And when doubt and unbelief come in, you learn how to put some insecticide on it or read it out or do not lean on your own understanding or your own five sense reasoning, man, but you shift over into that sixth sense what a sense of faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's word. And boy, then you the Bible said we believe, therefore we speak. We don't speak the circumstance, situation, and symptom, man, and leave it at that. We speak the word of God. That don't mean we might not acknowledge the circumstances, the situation, and symptom. Yes, they got giants in the land. And yes, you're going to face trials and tribulations. And yes, you're going to have ups and downs. And yes, you're going to be, man, some time, man, where you have to go through it, boy, it seems like and everything else. But we'd be more than able to go in and possess the land. For great is he that's with us and in us than, man, anything that's against us. And I'm fully persuaded, boy, that nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. That's found in your Bible in Romans chapter 8, around the end of that chapter. But you know something? And what made that come to pass where you say nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God? Because, man, in Genesis chapter 7, and then and beginning in Genesis chapter 8, that's when Paul was saying, oh, wretched man that I am. You know, I see the destination that you set for me is to be just like you. And even though I'm a positive everything else, but as I look into my life and I look at your life, I see how far I still ain't even nowhere close to being just like you. But I'm on the road, though. And I'm pressing on toward that prize of that high calling, you know. You say, but oh, wretched man, you know, sometimes the thing that I want to do, I don't do. The thing that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. So I see that, man, even though, boy, I'm born again, I'm living, but yet I'm going through trials and tribulations as well, too, anyway. Oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me, man, from this? And then he go on and say, boy, thanks be unto God to Jesus Christ. He say, for there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the natural man, not after the five sense reason, not after the circumstance, situation, gender, but walk after the Spirit, the word of God, and the promises of God, and the love of God, and the life of God. To walk after that, there is no condemnation. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. What's the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus? What God said about you in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Just in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31, through the end of that chapter. That's the law of life that's in Christ Jesus, what God said about you. Well, he said there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do through the weakness of the flesh, God sent forth his Son, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin, and boy, and redeemed our life from the destruction. What's that, boy? That's the love of God. Listen, my time is about up here, you know. And as you continue to listen, I believe with all my heart that God's feet fall on good ground. And that's what my prayer is, that your hearts and that your mind be plowed up through prayer, that you be able to receive the engrafted, incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of God's word, and you will allow it to take root into your heart and that it will produce in your life for fruit. For herein is the Father glorified, that we not only just hear the seeds and hear his word, but, boy, that we might apply his word to our lives. What's his word today, boy? That there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. For the law of Christ Jesus, that's in Christ Jesus, has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do through the weakness of the flesh, once again, God sent forth his Son and redeemed our life from that destruction. So therefore, there's nothing that can ever separate you from the love of God. And that love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hey, listen, next week we're going to have a special guest on with us, you know, Pastor Lee Owens in Houston, Texas, you know, with Let's Go Higher Ministry. And I promise you, it's going to be a tremendous treat and a blessing to you at the anointed word of God as we come on together and just share with y'all the love of God. And God is going to do great and mighty things in your lives, you know, through this ministry. So I encourage you to stay tuned, call a friend and tell a friend. We'll be on every Saturday from 12 to 1. We're going to be, man, looking for God to increase us so that we can be on more and more. As people begin to partner with us, you know, and God put it in your heart to be a partner to this ministry. And you can contact us at 713-870-3776. Even this ministry is a blessing to you, and you'd like to hear and help us, man, to reach out to more people, by more radio time, man. And man, it'll be well.